When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record in my car at the end of my workday, sharing some thoughts in general on things that I think about at the art desk. A few minutes inside the mind of a cartoonist. So what am I thinking about today? Well, today I'm thinking about the chase. This is something that I talk a lot about with a lot of my friends and a lot of beginning cartoonists who ask me the question, I've got an idea for a story, but I don't know how to start it. I don't know how to create a hook for this thing, how to get the ball rolling with my story. And at least in the case of, I should preface this by saying that I'm speaking primarily as a guy who does a lot of lighthearted action-adventure stuff, mainly geared towards young people or people who are young at heart. Longtime art and storyers know about my penchant for kids' entertainment and action-adventure entertainment. And that said, I also should preface this by saying that I have not started every story that I've ever done with a chase, but I do think the chase is a good go-to when building a story and getting the ball rolling in your story for a variety of reasons. Let's start with the first and foremost, like the surface features of what makes a chase so interesting. Let's think about some films that have really interesting chases in them. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. The movie starts with a chase. I mean, it's not a running chase, but it's the whole scene where Indiana Jones gets poisoned and the bad guy presents the antidote. And then a fight ensues to get the antidote back. And there's a series of funny and scary and exciting sequences of throwing obstacles at Indiana Jones to keep him from getting the antidote. There's the guys with the machine guns who are shooting at him while he hides behind the gong. There's the ice that gets spilled on the floor while the people are all panicking. And he's trying to sift through the ice to find the antidote vial. There's all the balloons that fall down. The dancing girls comes out and come out from the dragon mouth, and he runs into them while he's trying to get the antidote. It's this madcap pandemonium kind of sequence of him just trying to get this one thing. His life depends on getting that antidote. Sorry, everybody. I'm still suffering from some long-term cold medication issues. So anyway, that's fun to watch, and that sets up a sense of this is exciting and fun, and it's just going to get better from here on out. It grips you right away, instead of a prolonged sequence of Indiana Jones standing there saying, "Hi, I'm an archaeologist, and I also go on adventures, and here's my friend Sala, here's my friend Marcus Brody." Rather than an extended prose-like sequence of introducing your characters, you're just getting to know them through their actions and watching how able-bodied Indiana Jones is in that sequence, how resourceful he is in order to stay out of danger. But also you get to watch the funny parts, the frustration of when he's sliding across the floor to get the antidote, and then all of a sudden the ice is all over the place and people are kicking the antidote just as he's about to reach it. That kind of frustration and tantalization is fun to watch as well. In many ways, this mirrors what you're doing in a story, what a lot of people say you're doing in a story in the first place, right? Is that you are creating a goal for your character. A goal meaning the thing they want to be or the thing they want to avoid being, and then you throw a bunch of obstacles at them to prevent them from achieving that or avoiding that, okay? The end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure has another great chase sequence, and this was an actual chase where he gets his bike back after a long, prolonged chase of trying to find the bike, the quest for the bike. He gets it back, and it leads to that wonderful, funny chase sequence on the Warner movie lot, which just keeps escalating in its absurdity, where he's being chased by the guys in the golf courts until finally he goes to the movie studios, and then it ends with him being chased by Santa's sleigh with Godzilla in it, and then they crash into the car with the Twisted Sister band shooting a video. So it can be a source of a lot of absurd fun, and it becomes a simple activity of saying, okay, well, here's my character A, Pee-wee, he's got his bike, he wants to get away from B, the bad guys, the Warner studio security guys, and what kind of ridiculous things can I throw in the way of those guys from getting Pee-wee? Okay, so it's a simple thing to create, but it also can be, there's two other things it can do. it could become a microcosm for your story in terms of setting up some initial, introducing the readers to your character in a very exciting and vibrant way. Again, like I was talking about with Indiana Jones, through the actions of the character, you're getting to know the character. And the example I have for this is I started the front, the graphic novel, with a chase sequence, the chase for the Thor pin. And this was one to create an exciting series of events to get Thirsty to move across the county fair. I mean, that's another thing as a side note, is that a chase also means that you get to introduce your characters and your world by showing a series of different locations in your world. So you're not just watching a person sit in a chair for 20 pages as you introduce them. You can move around your scenery and get a lot of exciting different vantage points and locations during a chase sequence. But so I got to see more of the county fair. But also, it was my way, what I was intentionally doing in the first chapter and the first, like, third of the second chapter of the graphic novel, was I was trying to establish a duality in what Thirsty was saying and what he was doing. In his narrative captions, he's describing or referring to what he admires about heroism, what he admires about heroes, and that's leading to what he admires about his father, Rex. He talks about the big... the heroic choices that his favorite heroes have to make, and then what we watch him make the bad choices, the selfish choices, the immature choices. He's obsessing. He himself even says in the dialogue at some point, all this talk about heroism, and there I was obsessing over a Thor pin. That was an intentional sort of duality I was trying to create to introduce this idea that he is not ready for the world of heroism just yet. He is still he is at one with this idea that I'm still a child. So the chase can be an opportunity to, in actions, express what the character is searching for, what the character is afraid of, what the character is not ready for yet, by virtue of the way they respond to things. There's a scene where Sam gets the girl who has the pin gets blasted by Dick Courage's gun angel, gets knocked out, and Thirsty has the opportunity to protect her from Dick, but instead he takes the pin and runs off. So that was how he failed. And that sort of like theme escalates to the scene where he finally turns the corner and sees Knox getting beat up by Torpedo Black, and he has to make that heroic decision of whether he's going to stand up for his friend to protect him or if he's going to hide. And I've gone into that a bunch of times elsewhere, so I won't go any further than that. Another place where I used this as a microcosm in a different way was to introduce us to the character of Helen in The Replacements very quickly and establish some of the main sort of drama of the overall series of The Replacements was when Helen puts on this mystical bracelet and she finds out that her emotional state summons monsters from another dimension. So the more frightened she gets, the more agitated she gets, the more monsters are going to pop out of the woodwork. And it becomes a chase in that the monsters are chasing her. So it's a running away from something rather than a running to something. Rather than trying to get something from somebody, she's just trying to get away from bad guys. But we also get introduced to Bruce during the chase sequence and the character of Duke during the chase sequence. And we find out that through the actions of these characters, without me having to have the characters say this themselves, that Bruce is ready for conflict. He's looked forward to conflict all his life. Now, he's not necessarily good at the conflict. He's pretty able-bodied, but he's still kind of a fool. Duke, on the other hand, takes it very seriously, and he's exceedingly good at conflict. Helen is awful at conflict, and the more and more frightened she gets, the more monsters keep popping up, which just keeps making her more frightened, so it just keeps building to a crescendo, and as Bruce is trying to tell her to calm down during the whole chase sequence, we get this great thought balloon where she says, "But I freak out when I order pizza." So it's a way to very quickly and vibrantly explore what are your character's motivations without having a lot of heavy caption boxing and dialoguing and interactions between your characters, explaining where they're coming from and everything. It's an immediate, a very quick and like I said, vibrant way to get to know them in the context of something that's fun to watch. Now, again, I think that this applies itself most to doing stories that have a high degree of, or at least a reasonable degree of action and excitement and fun to it. I don't think that a chase necessitates fun romps and silly pratfalls and comedy. I think my favorite ones do that, but you can also have, obviously, chase sequences that are much more serious and have a grittier tone, depending on the kind of story that you want to do. But in any case, I think that, again, that was just the thought of the day, is that the chase is a good go-to to get the ball rolling in your story, but it also can serve as a narrative device to explore very quickly and efficiently what are your character's key motivations, or at least get to start begin to describe your characters, how they react to stresses in the context of a chase, as a means to start getting to know them through what they do and what they say in context of the action, rather than have them say, "I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secret of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend." While I love those cartoon intros, I don't think that that kind of storytelling is proper in the context of a story itself, if that makes any sense. So, them's my thoughts today. So, okay, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com. You can follow me, Jersey, on the Twitters. That's J-E-R-Z-Y. Don't forget to check out the other great stuff at Art and Story Supreme. That's at artandstorypodcast.com. There's other great microcasts like Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast, Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, videos, extra episodes of Art and Story Extreme, and the monthly Art and Story Supreme, and more. All sorts of great stuff. Don't forget, you can check out the forum in the header of the Art and Story website, and you can discuss the stuff that we talk about here. This is where you can do follow-up. I'd love to hear from you what you're interested in having me address on Thunder Punch Daily. And thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. Once again, we really appreciate it. The music for this episode was provided by my brother, Elliot Drozd. I'll give him a web link as soon as I can get the guy online. And Tara Platt of taraplatt.com, TaraPlatt.com. She provided the VO for the intro, that wonderfully sincere VO, and I thank Tara very much for that. So until next time, everybody, remember...
Sometimes movies and television adventure series like this one make it seem as though shooting a gun, fighting, and taking chances are fun and exciting things to do. And what's more, the good guys never get hurt. But in real life, people do get hurt, even killed, when they fight or use guns. Make-believe can be fun, and there's nothing wrong with imagining great adventures. But never forget that when it's the real thing, someone can get hurt. Even the good guys. Even you.